Awesome. How are y'all doing? Good. Get situated here. Amen. We had a great time first service, and I trust that God is going to bless you with this word, to change you with this word. How many of you know we need to be changed by the power of God's word? His word is living and it's active. It should be living and active. It should be transforming us. It should be changing us. So I'm excited to be able to share with you this morning. Bishop's in San Jose, sharing the word this morning as well. But I am excited because I feel like for some of us, 2020 is the year to step into the fullness of our destiny. I really do. I feel like God is breathing on 2020. And I know Pastor Steve has been talking about double. Thank you. I love her for that, so I don't get in trouble later. Before I go, we do have another video, we are memorializing and celebrating the incredible Dr. Martin Luther King tomorrow, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so before we go, yes, what a man, what an impact. And so before we go any further, let's just watch this tribute.
I have a dream.
Yeah, what an incredible man. What an incredible legacy. Amen. Amen. All right, so the word today, I feel like if you will reach up and grab some of these truths today, you're going to see the fullness of what God has in store for you begin to unfold in your life. The things that you've been dreaming about, the things that you've been holding on for, the things that you've let go, it's time to trust God to move you out into that place of fulfilled destiny this year. We're going to talk about some things this morning that might keep you or may have been keeping you and me from experiencing the abundance that God promises in his word. All of us are experiencing his mercy, right? All of us are experiencing his provision. But what's it going to take on your part, and what's it going to take on my part to move out from that place of mercy, which we all are grateful for, but into the place of blessing, the fulfillment of promise, the unfolding of destiny in our lives. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. 2020, it's the year of redemption, it's the year of restitution, and it's the year of restoration. So whatever areas in your life this morning need the redemptive touch of God, it's going to take some courage probably to surrender those areas. Whatever areas you need to experience the restitution of God, it's going to take some courage to realize that. And it's the same thing with the restoration, because in order to experience these things, you might need to let go of some things that you've been holding on to, and some things you might be holding on to really tightly. There might be some things that you're holding on to that you don't even realize you're holding on to, and I believe that this morning in this service, Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart and reveal to you where it is that you need to come face to face and get alone with God so that he can speak to you and reveal to you the things that it's time to lay down, things like unforgiveness, things like failures, things like disappointments and hurts, all of those things that we've all failed, right? We've all stumbled, we've all fallen, but the enemy uses those things in our past, and he speaks into our ear, telling us that we're unqualified, that we're unable. All these things that we hear being whispered into our ears, we need to break the power of those words in our lives and determine that we're going to stand under the power of the Almighty and see his will for our lives fulfilled. Amen? You were blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. We live in a very dark world, and it's time that the church of Jesus Christ stands up and gets recognized as who we are, right? The chosen of God, the called of God, heirs according to his promise in Galatians 3:29, I believe that is. But some of you today are going to discover a strength that's not your own, and that's been my prayer, is God come by your miracle-working power and call your sons and daughters into that place where they stand up, recognizing who you are, understanding that it's because you're good, not because I'm good. It's because you're good that you want to show me the abundance of your blessings. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 27. That's where we're going to start. I'm just going to read a quick scripture out of there. We're going to be going over a familiar story that many of you have read probably multiple times. Might be a new story to some of you, so I'm going to do just a little bit of background. But in this story, Isaac, one of our forefathers in the faith, Isaac was coming to the end of his life. His eyes were dimming. And he recognized that his days were closing. And in preparation to give the firstborn blessing to his elder son, Esau, in the process of all of this, Jacob, his other son, his younger son, along with the scheming plans of his mother, Rebecca, decided to deceive deceive Jacob's father and send him in disguised as Esau with the stew that he had commanded Esau to go and make for him so that he could give Esau the blessing. Well, Jacob snuck in under the radar, mom made a stew, and he went in covered in goat's hair because Esau was very hairy, and deceived his father and took the birthright. And I want to say to you this morning what I felt like the Lord was sharing with me last night, something that I had never seen in this story that really felt like God was speaking. And I feel like there are some of us in this sanctuary this morning, including myself, that at times or on occasion have not trusted in the goodness of God. And because we haven't trusted in the goodness of God, we found ourselves running or trying to provide for ourselves or trying to make something happen on our own. Because we feel like we deserve the punishment of God, or at very least, we don't deserve his goodness. But see, that's what makes him good, because even though we don't deserve the goodness of God, we inherit the goodness of God. We inherit the things that his character has for us. And so I'm just going to read a verse right now out of Genesis 27 and verse 19, kind of give you a little encapsulate what we were just talking about. 27:19, this is where Jacob came in and deceived his father. And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, or eat of the stew, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly? In other words, how is it that you've made this stew so quickly? Because the Lord your God brought it to me. He lied, deceived. Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac's father, and he felt him, and he said, "This, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So in this whole deception, Jacob obtains the blessing of his father. But I had to think, this is what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me last night. How many of us miss out on the blessing of God because we don't trust in his goodness? I don't believe that Jacob was trusting in the... Now, understand this. Though Esau did deserve, because he was the firstborn, he was in line for the firstborn son blessing. But it didn't mean that Isaac wasn't going to bless Jacob as well. Just because Esau got his blessing didn't mean that Isaac wasn't going to follow the commandment in the word and bless both of his sons. But Jacob got a little shady and a little shaky about whether or not his blessing would be good enough. And I believe it was because he didn't have complete trust in the nature of his father. So I would like to propose to you today that some of us may not be experiencing the abundant blessing of God because we don't fully trust in the nature of our father. And I want to remind you again that God isn't good to you because you're good. He's good to you because he's good. And his nature doesn't change. So Jacob, for those of you that may not know, his name meant deceiver or supplanter. And that's exactly what he did. He deceived his father. And as I said, he deceived his father likely because he didn't trust in his father's goodness. And God gave me a scripture last night of Psalm 145, verse 9. It says, the Lord is good to all. To all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. So just because so-and-so got this amazing blessing doesn't mean you have to deceive or manipulate for your advancement or your blessing. Because God's got a blessing for you too, because he's no respecter of persons and he's a good God. And you are the target of his inheritance. You are the target of his riches. You are the target of his blessing on every level, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, you name it. You are the target. You have a target up on your back. And the goodness of God is aimed at you. So don't run. And sometimes running isn't physical. Sometimes running is emotionally. Sometimes we run, we can sit in church week after week and we can be faithful to God, but there's things in our lives that we're keeping from God. We're not handing them over to God because we don't trust that he will respond in goodness. Esau hated his brother, and in his hatred, he was quick to rehearse Jacob's name, and that you can find that in Genesis 27:36, but there's something that the Lord spoke to me about that. So Esau, in his anger, you know, he declares, you know, he's wearing his name. His name is deceiver. You can read the verse. But my point in that is to say to you this morning, what is it that people have said about you? What is it that you have said about yourself that you're actually walking out in your life? Maybe some things that you speak to yourself subconsciously, or that you've believed about yourself. You've allowed the enemy to speak into your ear, and you've absorbed it, you've taken it into your spirit, and now you're walking it out. Could be rejection, could be fear, could be a lack of courage, could be shame. You know, the list goes on and on and on. But it's these things that we need to place before God, trusting that his response will always be his goodness. He's not ready to judge you or punish you. He's ready to show you mercy and pull you into that place of grace where his mercy and his abundance are flowing over your life. Amen. So I believe that we need to really ask Holy Spirit today to give us the courage to stand face to face with Holy Spirit and let him show us ourselves in a mirror. Even if we don't like what we see, we need to see it so that we can allow him to change it. Amen. And so Esau makes this declaration about his brother, calling him a deceiver, saying he's living up to his name. And how many of you understand that there's nothing worse than proving negative people right? Right? So what people are saying about you, don't prove them right, prove them wrong. Amen. Right? What you're saying about yourself, don't prove yourself right, prove yourself wrong. Listen, we've all done things that we're not proud of, every single one of us. I know I have, but God can redeem everyone if you will trust him to do so. Jacob was struggling with that. Jacob was struggling with his decision. And due to that fact, he kept repeating manipulation and deception. And if you read the whole story of Jacob, you'll see that throughout his life, he was very manipulative. And he did reap a little bit of what he sowed along the way. You know, if you read the story, it's actually quite interesting. He woke up one morning thinking he was going to be in bed with the wife that he just worked 7 years to obtain, and woke up with another woman in his bed, the sister. And so what goes around comes around, right? You're going to be a deceiver. You can expect that that's going to come back your way. The Bible says you reap what you sow. So stop repeating the same behavior. And ask God to help you stop repeating the same behavior that's affecting your marriage, that's affecting your finances, that's affecting your health. I could go on and on and on and on. We can't repeat the same behaviors. So after Jacob deceived his father and stole his brother's blessing, he ran. And that's what we do. We run. And for 20 years, trial and tribulation followed him because of his behavior, because of his nature, because he was living up to his name. So I'm here to declare to you this morning that I believe that this is the day that some of us will stop repeating the behavior in our life that takes us into lack, and we'll actually break the things off of us that are keeping us from moving into that place of abundance. This is the year that many of us will stop running. Now, the interesting thing about this story is both of them were heirs to the promise of Abraham. And both of them received provision from God. Even though Jacob was running, God was still there. God was still looking out for him. God was still, kind of picking up his messes for him and advancing him and blessing him. But it's different to be in the mercy of God, where provision flows, than to be in the blessing of God where abundance flows. And for some of us, it's one decision. Moving from this place to this place. Moving from provision into blessing. It's one decision in our life. Maybe it's we've got to quit making excuses for our own behavior. Maybe we have to quit making assumptions about other people's behavior. Take the class. Learn about yourself. Learn about why you hear things or see things the way that you see them that aren't actually the way that they are. Right? So we are people of blessing. And I said it earlier, it was Galatians 3:29. It says, if you then belong to God, you are Abraham's seed. How many of you belong to God this morning? Okay. Then the promise that was given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and all the way down the line is your promise too. And that promise involved multiplication, potential, and blessing. 20 years of strife and trials for Jacob until he had had enough. I believe that some of you in this place today, you've had enough. You've had enough. He had had enough. And redemption was waiting for him. Redemption was waiting for him. And it's waiting for you. God is the Redeemer, right? I'm going to go over a couple of chapters. If you're with me in your Bible, go to chapter 32. I'm going to read a little bit more of this story because it's important to see. Genesis 32, I'm going to start in verse 22, and I'm going to read a few verses. This is later in Jacob's life, when he was tired of trying to figure it all out for himself, when he was tired of running. This is where this picks it up. Genesis 32, 22 says, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over all that he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man, capital M, and a man, that's important, wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. How many of you know that God is a name changer? He's a name changer. Are you sick today? Are you sick in body? He's the healer. He can change your name. Yeah. Are you broke financially? God can change your name. Abundance. Are you tired of getting beat up? Right? Tore up? God says your name is victory. You've just got to trust that he's good enough to define you. Amen. Yeah, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and men, and you have prevailed. Very interesting story. So in this portion of Scripture, what has happened is Jacob gets word that Esau is coming his way. And he's not coming alone. He's coming with 400 men. That means war. So Jacob is just tired of running. And he tells his family, sends his livestock over the river, sends his wives and his family over the river, sends his servants over the river, and the scripture says he finds himself alone. I'm here to tell you today that some of you are on the brink of your breakthrough, and all you need to do is find your alone time with God. Because it's in your closet, in that time, when you sow into that alone time, that God can, in a moment, give you strategy, speak to your heart, reveal to you what's wrong with you, and give you the courage to step up out of that and step into your destiny. 20 years. And Jacob hears his brother is on the way, and he gets alone with God, and then he begins to wrestle. He's at the end of his rope. Anybody here today at the end of your rope? Tired of ends not meeting? Tired of the strife in your home? Tired of your family being lost and wayward? Tired of your sons and daughters not serving God? You have a promise that's in the Word that's attached to your life, and that promise is full of potential and hope. Maybe you just need to get alone with God. You know, we have an enemy that does everything, pulls every trick out of the book to keep you from getting alone with God, because he knows what can happen when you hear God's voice. He knows what can happen when you get a rhema word from God, when God speaks a revelatory word in that quiet time to you. He knows what can happen. He knows the potential of that word. And so here Jacob is, and he finds himself wrestling with a man, capital N. It was a Christophany. It was a pre-cross manifestation of Christ himself. Amen. Jacob's wrestling. It's interesting. And the word says he wrestled until the break of day. Do you know that God could have took him out in a moment, right? But there was purpose in the contending. There was a purpose in the wrestling. And as God appears to Jacob in the form of this man, God seems to resist him a little bit. And if you remember last week, Pastor Steve taught a message about Elisha going after the anointing that Elijah carried. And there were several times along the way that Elijah told Elisha, stay here, stay here, stay here. And Elijah said, no way, I'm going with you. Sometimes we need to resist the desire to step back, to lay back, to give up, to shut up. Sometimes we have to resist that, and we just need to get in the wrestling match. We need to contend. Now, Jacob was used to stealing and manipulating for blessing. We do the same. I do the same. I plan it, I figure it out, and I try to achieve it. And I never bother to ask God to come into the middle of it and show me how to get it done. And I know I'm not the only one. So this is the one thing that I had to stand before Holy Spirit as I was preparing, not just the one thing, there was many, but the one that I'm bringing to you right now. I had to just go to him face to face. And trust that when I did, his word says, I am your glory and the lifter of your head. So as I stood before him, I didn't have to stand before him in shame. I didn't have to stand before him in condemnation or guilt. I could stand before him with my head and meet his eyes of compassion and love and mercy and an invitation to put it behind me once and for all and step into the promise fulfilled that is waiting for me. So instead of stealing and manipulating, now Jacob is contending. Is there anybody here today that's willing to contend a little bit to see the promise of God fulfilled in your life? I want to tell you today that persistence and faithfulness, they will pay off. Sometimes you need to just persist. Sometimes you just need to go before God and be honest and say, God, your word says this. I'm not seeing it in my life. I know the problem is not you. Reveal to me where it is in my life that I need to make adjustments and change so I can experience the fullness of what you have in store for me. Stop with the excuses, stop with the finger pointing, stop with the blaming, stop with the woe is me, spiritualizing poverty. You know, we do that in the church and it's miserable. Just stop it. He's a good God. Always. I said it first service. Every day. He's good. He's never bad. He's never in a bad mood. He's always having a good day. And because of that, we should always have the same. Now, I'm not saying that trials and tribulations don't come our way, but generally speaking, when they do, generally speaking, there's no one to blame but us. Our behaviors, our communication, whatever it might be. Now, I'm not saying that there's not tragic things that happen that are not our fault. Of course, that's not what I'm saying. But there is a time in the life of the believer where we have to stand up and say, God, examine me. Try me. God, there's promises that I'm not seeing unfold in my life. And I know that you're not a liar. So here I am. I trust that you're good, that you're not going to punish me for not figuring it out thus far. I trust that you want to show me. And I love what he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. He had come to a place where he said, I'm tired of running. I'm not going to run anymore. I want to come into contact. I want to come into close communion with the one who has nothing but his very best for me. And we need to fight for it, church. We need to begin to fight for it. Amen. We are called to be a light. We should be different. People should see us and see the blessing on our lives. And that's what should draw them. When we're walking in blessing and joy and hope and faithfulness and peace and abundance, it should cause people to take notice. Time is running short, and we have a job to do. God touched Jacob's hip. And when he got up from that wrestling match, he never walked the same. And there was a time in my, I was like, why did he do that? But I believe it's this. I believe that when Jacob got up from that wrestling match, nobody would ever be able to say he walked the same again. When he got up from that wrestling match, he was a new man with a new walk. God changed his walk forever. And listen, come on. Here's the deal. Sometimes before you can be healed, there's a wound that has to be exposed. Do you know that Jacob was wounded and healed at the same time? That's only our God can do that, right? Wounded and healed all by one touch. Some of us are afraid to go before the Father because we know it will hurt to change. We know it will hurt to give up some of the things that we're so accustomed to. And so we run and we run and we run. And God says, why don't you just bring it to me? Because I'm not going to, it might hurt a little bit in the process, but I'm definitely going to heal that area at the same time. And you're going to see my goodness revealed. So Jacob, who was a shady, selfish opportunist, was changed. God can change you too. Now, I'm not calling you a shady, selfish opportunist, but there's all kinds of names. Names that we've just aligned ourselves with. And God says, I can't bless that. I can't bless that. You've got to sever that. You've got to give that to me. And you've got to trust that when you do, I will reassign a name to you. And that name is full of potential and power and influence. Because that's what you were created, who you were created to be. Full of goodness and full of influence. Healthy spiritual influence. Amen? So what's your name today? What's your name? Jacob understood who he was, and that wasn't good enough for him anymore. That's why he wrestled. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means Prince of God. Now, there's some inheritance, right? There's some inheritance. Jacob was able now to step into what his original destiny was. That was his original identity that he forfeited because he was afraid that God wasn't good enough to bless his brother and him. And in this name, there was so much potential. He was the carrier of the lineage of Abraham, to whom God spoke that you won't be able to number the multitudes. When God assigns you your name, it's full of potential. It's full of power, and it's full of blessing. And some of us just need a name change. Some of us, the only reason that God hasn't released that over you is because you're still holding on to that old name, and you're refusing to stand up and contend or fight a little bit for what it is that has been fighting against you. Now, you guys know me. Most of you know me. Health is important to me. Wellness is important to me. But I think this testimony that I'm about to share with you is probably one of the most powerful testimonies that you could ever hear. And this is exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Now, God can heal you on every level. Health, emotions, spiritual, all of it. There's nothing that God can't touch. But I want to bring up a testimony right now. Lena, can you come up here? This warrior, come on. Kick the devil. Yes. You overcame by the word of your testimony and by the blood. This is Lena. Lena is a friend of mine and relatively new to our church, but she is an incredible warrior. And about 5 months ago, she came to my office. She came to a seminar, and then she came to my office, and she said, I want to do whatever I have to do. I don't care what it takes. I'm tired of being sick. And I want to trust God. I want to get well. And so tell me where you were at that point.
Overweight, depressed, stuck on insulin and high blood pressure medication and high cholesterol, feeling absolutely terrible and like I could have a heart attack or a stroke at any moment. And I was just tired of being in that situation, tired of being a slave to the medication, and I wanted change, and I found my change. Surgery wasn't going to do it. Crazy fad diets weren't going to do it, but God gave me my answer because I waited. I didn't just rush to, you know, lay on an operating table and get my gut cut up or whatever. I trusted God that in his timing it would happen. And when Pastor Carrie announced that she was going to have the seminar, and the answer just came, and I went, and immediately I knew I could do it because I was ready to make a change in my life. I was tired of being sick, and I wanted my life back. I wanted to be free and not be a slave to the medications anymore. And so, here I am.
So Lena has been on a journey, and she's had to fight. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy for her. But I've watched this woman fight against the odds. And I want to make a statement very clearly. She's been not only under our care, my care at my business, but she's also been, and I've been very careful to tell her, check with your doctor, check with your doctor, check with your doctor. But Lena is no longer on insulin. She's no longer, come on, at all. She's no longer on metformin. So if you've been told a lie that it's in your family genetics, that's a lie from the pit of hell. She's no longer on lisinopril, which is it's a horrible, horribly debilitating. It's horrible for your body. She is completely off of all of them with her doctor's care, with her doctor's oversight. And that's what happens when you make a decision to face. And I'm gonna say this on her behalf. Lena had to make a determination that she was sick because that was the path that she chose. And that's a hard truth. But the moment that she acknowledged that, God came with his grace, and he met her, and he empowered her to do what she needed to do to turn it around. Come on, give her a hand. I know. She's awesome. She's still going, too, by the way. She's just like, I'm not done. I just love it. So what is it? Let me just ask you, what is your name? I believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to some of you and showing you where it is in your life that you settled for less than what God has in store for you. And today, I believe he's releasing names in this place. He's releasing identity in this place. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? If I could get some help behind me, it'd be great. I just want to do a couple of things. I know this might be a little bit different than what you're accustomed to, but I want you to just close your eyes where you're standing right there. And I want you to enter in the best that you can. Enter into a place where you're face to face with the Lord. And I want you to understand that you don't have to hang your head. Keep your eyes closed. I want you to find that place. Find that place, because I can't do it for you. Just take a moment and find that place. And I want you to imagine yourself standing face to face with the Lord himself. And I want you to see his face, because when you look at his face, his eyes are full of compassion, not condemnation. His eyes are full of approval and not disregard. His eyes are full of love and acceptance and not judgment and rejection. And I believe that there's a place for each of us where we can just stop and the Holy Spirit will speak and say, this is not your identity. And I don't know what it is for each of you, but none of us are perfect. So I know that God is speaking right now. And if you will listen, he will identify some things for you. Could be the way you communicate. Could be as simple as sarcasm. It could be, it can be fear. It can be anger, unforgiveness, as I said earlier. Let him identify that, because those are the things that actually become a part of who you are that need to be severed in this place right now. And God is coming with grace and with might. And he's assigning names. And so you can just pull down on any one of those names that you so desire. If your name has been fearful, you need to pull down on courage. If your name is overwhelmed, you need to pull down on victory. If your name is sick, you need to pull down and align yourself with the Rapha of heaven, because he's the healer and he's speaking healing over your body right now. And the courage for you to do what you need to do. So Holy Spirit, in this place, we just thank you that you move and that you speak. God, we thank you that you're for us according to your word and not against us. God, you are the rebuilder of broken places. You are the restorer of broken lives. You repay what we've lost in our own folly because you're good. And today is the first day of the rest of our lives. Today is the first day of breakthrough. I speak courage and the fight over your body, over your sons and daughters today, the fight that is needed to get the victory once and for all in specific areas of our life, because we were not meant to be downtrodden, but to be raised up into a place of prosperity and abundance. And I believe, God, that 2020, the year of double-double, is our year on every level to be healed. Financial healing in Jesus' name. Emotional healing from old wounds in Jesus' name. Come face to face with God. In order to be healed, sometimes we have to stop pointing fingers and we have to stop blaming. And I'm not saying it's easy, but with God's grace, you can do it. And I believe that there's a breaker anointing in this place, and God's got breakthrough, like crazy breakthrough for some of you, that will actually let him evaluate and trust that as he evaluates your life, he will give you every tool and the strength that you need to turn it around. Because abundance is your name. Abundance is your name. Overflow is your name. Why? Why are we to be a people of blessing? Because when the blessing is overflowing in our lives, the people around us can't help but be touched by it. And God, there are things that we in this room are supposed to be a part of that's going to take an advancement in every area of our life. Healthy, finances, emotional. We're going to have to take it up to the next level to be a part of what you're calling us to. And I thank you, my God, that destiny is being unfolded before us this morning, God. I thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you no matter how long we've ran. No matter how many excuses we've made. If we can just come face to face with you, trusting in your goodness, the turnaround is instantaneous. And I give you praise for that this morning. I thank you for the fullness of your nature being revealed even now as we stand before you. So before we close today, if you would like prayer, I'd like the prayer team to come up. The prophetic, anybody hears from the prophetic team, come on up. If you just need a good word. If you need somebody to agree with you, sometimes it's in the power of agreement. Maybe you're sensing the Spirit of the Lord on this word and you're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change it. Just come up and let somebody agree with you in prayer. Okay? There's power in agreement. Some of you have been feeling that your destiny is bigger than what you're experiencing. Come on, anybody ever felt that? There's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life. It's okay to want more. You need to break off that poverty. Oh, I'm happy. I don't need anything else. I don't need any more. I just celebrate my poverty. That's not God. He's a God of more than enough, not just enough. Right? That's his name, El Shaddai. And so come into agreement with that. Let that name overtake you today. He is El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. So if you've been living with just enough, if you're just getting by, it's time to break that cycle and step into that place of blessing and abundance in Jesus' name. So God, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your ability. We thank you that you're good to us even when we don't deserve it. We thank you that where we lack, you don't lack. We thank you that where we're inadequate, you are fully adequate, God. And we stand in the understanding of that together today, declaring that we will no longer be the tail, but as you have declared in your word, we will be the head. We will no longer be below, but we will be above. We will walk in supernatural provision, God, so that we can affect the areas that you've called us to, so that we can bless the families that need, so that we can change this world in 2020. For your name's sake and for your glory, let the running stop and the contending begin. I prophesy a change of name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen, it's great to come to church and hear a word. It's great to come to church and hear a word and applaud it and think it's great. It's all good if it's coming from his word. It's another thing to take responsibility for what you've heard. We want to see change this year. So step up to the plate. Trust that God is a God. He is the God he says he is. He's got healing for you. He's got provision for you. He's got restoration for you, because those are all his names. Those are all his names. So, Father, as we leave this place, let us go absorbing, ingesting, taking in what it is that you have spoken today. And we thank you for the change that comes when we stand up to your word. Thank you this morning for your goodness and for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.